Good morning. I'm just returning from Hawaii, and I didn't know I was going to be on duty today, and obviously things are a little bit chaotic here, so I apologize for whatever I did here to kind of start off a little bit shaky here this morning. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Certainly we've had some pretty nice weather over the past several days and really spectacular weather for celebrating the 4th of July and our independence here in America, so we can certainly be thankful for that. I would have to say that God really knew what he was doing when he made the Hawaiian Islands, because they are absolutely beautiful, and hope everyone at some point has an opportunity to go over and visit the country over there, because while it is a little bit expensive, it's worth the trip, and it's just absolutely spectacular. The sun rises, the sun sets on the beaches. Well, you just can't describe them, really. He really had things packaged out well when he put that together over there in Hawaii. Not too much in the way of announcements. Again, I'm a little bit spontaneous here this morning, but fun food and fellowship, that's this Friday, so be sure and sign up for that and check with Tabitha as well. And that Bible stick promotion, I know that's a pretty important task as well. It's unbelievable that you can package up the word and a little bit of stick there so that the military folks and their families will have an opportunity to hear the word and hopefully become followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning I want to read out of the book of Jude here. Stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. Wait patiently for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy is going to give you. Try to help those who argue against you. Be merciful for those who doubt. Save some by snatching them from the very flames of hell itself. And as for others, help them to find the Lord by being kind to them. But be careful that you yourselves aren't pulled into their sins. Hate every trace of their sin while being merciful and loving them as you go forward. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are indeed so thankful for the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. So fortunate to live here in a country of freedom and independence. And Father, we ask that you give us a good direction and guidance as we meet the many, many challenges that seem to be thrown up before us in this wonderful country in which we live in. Help us to know and to find the way to bring others to come to thy word, to come and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We ask these things in thy risen Savior's name. Amen.
God is great. Yes? Yes, yes. God is great. Sometimes we tend to focus on God as our friend, God as our buddy, and that's true too, especially maybe when we think about Jesus, God's son. He's our friend, he's there right by us, we can talk to him all the time, but maybe we do that at the expense sometimes of acknowledging his bigness and his greatness. And hopefully we all have some stories we can share with one another of just how great he really is. In our family, 2 years ago, our daughter-in-law was battling cancer. And today, as we speak, she's anticipating the birth of her first child. So that's something to really celebrate. And that birthday could be today, could be tomorrow. We don't know exactly, but it's very soon. And speaking of birthdays, we have another birthday boy within our midst here this morning that perhaps we should acknowledge too.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Scott. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Pastor Scott. Let's stand and sing. Getting back to God is great. Let's sing all about that.
Oh, creation cries to you.
your name, the glory of your name. All to you, oh God, we bring. And Jesus, teach us how to live. Let your fire burn in us, that all may see God is great, and His grace fills the earth, fills the heavens, and Your name will be praised in all the world. God is great, sing His praise, all the earth, all the heavens, 'cause we're living for the glory of Your name, the glory of Your name. Holy is the Lord, the whole sea, the whole
seated. Are there any kids in the congregation here this morning? If there are, we invite you up at this time for the children's moment. Come on up. Come right on up and have a seat for a special message just for us kids.
Now, I'm sure you're all wondering about what I've got up here. Somebody told me that Pastor Scott had a really long sermon today. And so I got a glass so that he could get some water if he wants that. So just be aware. Actually, what we're going to talk about is a faucet. And this little dealy bob here has a faucet on it. And if I open up that faucet, I get water. Now, I think maybe if you looked out there that there might be a few people that didn't always get the water out of the faucet. That they had to go out and pump it. That sounds like something that might happen maybe in Sierra Leone. Yeah. And we take things so much for granted. And you can have, somebody want that water? Go for it, Anthony. I thought that may be better than spilling. Okay, anybody else? No. I thought maybe because Pastor Scott's going to be talking about prayer, I thought maybe I'd try and do that too. And so I want you to think a little bit about prayer, what it does for you. Just as turning on this faucet turns on the flow of water, when you pray to God, you're turning on God's flow of goodness. And the thing about God is that He wants us involved in that. We have wonderful things, things that we don't ask for. But when you pray to God, you're getting in communion with Him and you're asking Him for the flow of His goodness to come in to whatever it is that you're praying about. Talk to Him. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for your country. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the sick, pray for the well. And you know, God answers prayer. And He doesn't always answer it just exactly like you want it. But that's one thing about God. He is so much brighter than any of the rest of us. And that sometimes we ask for things that aren't good for us. And so in His wisdom, He shows us a better way. And I never had really thought about that, but somebody gave me this idea, and I thought, oh, you know, you have a very personal relationship with God, and He's very much a part of what happens in your life. So we pray in the morning, we pray at the meals, we pray at night, we pray as we're walking down the street, we pray for one another. And that's, it's just such an important part of what we do as Christian children. So if you're having a problem, if you got somebody that you do assume not meet face to face, pray for them. You'd be surprised what opens up. Let the flowing of God's love show through your life. Let's pray. Precious Lord, You loved us first, and we love You because of that. We know You want what is best for us. We want Your strength. We want Your wisdom. So help us each one as we say our prayers day by day and minute by minute, to know that You're as close as right there. You're in our heart. We love You. In Jesus' name.
Amen. As the kids return to their seats, let's take a few moments to stand and reach out to our neighbors and greet them and introduce ourselves, and we'll continue with our singing in just a minute. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the rose, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is close. He walks with me, and He talks.
from him, through him, and to him are all things. To God be the glory. His word endures from beginning to end. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Greater is the one who lives in me. Greater is the love of Jesus. Greater than my sin, greater than the grave. Above all other thrones, above all other names, greater. You are greater. He was and is and forever will be. To God be the glory. His power in us, he is strength for the weak. To God be the glory. To Jesus, you reign forever. Jesus, you reign forever. There's no one like you. Jesus, you reign. Jesus, you reign forever. Jesus, you reign forever. There's no one like you. Jesus, you reign. Jesus, you who lives in me. Greater is the love of Jesus. Greater than my sin, greater than the grave. Above all other thrones, above all other names, greater is the one who lives in me.
Amen. You may be seated. Do you believe the love of Jesus is the greatest power in the universe? Okay, super. We're on the right track. Just want to give you a couple little reminders here before we go to prayer. There's two groups of people. There's sinners. And there's those who don't know they're sinners. And before we can really share the love of Jesus with somebody else, our starting point has always got to be, I'm a sinner. Because as soon as we forget that, somebody's going to think we're a whole lot more interested in pointing out theirs rather than identifying our own. We've all had those moments in our life in which our own selfish, sinful behavior has gotten in the way of us being able to share the love of Christ with someone else. So as we go to prayer today, I certainly want us to remember that. Please be in prayer for those that are tempted to leave thinking this message is exceptionally long. That was just simply illustrative material. And I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll get carried away and it will be. But at this point, I'm not planning on it. We have several items I want to bring before you for prayer. It's prayer and praise for Crystal that will soon be a mother. And so please keep Luke and Crystal and the new one on their way that are in your prayers. Margarita Atwell has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We praise the Lord that they believe they've caught it early enough that surgery is the way to go. So there'll be a couple consults before then. So let's pray God's hand upon her and Alan that they're just wrong. But if not, that they can get it all. Bill is with us today, and he shared with me that he took a tumble and has messed up his shoulder, and he's going to have to probably have something done with that. So it seems like Bill is struggling to get out of the woods from one problem and finds himself in the forest of another. And so please remember Bill in your prayers as well. Irene is our oldest member. She's next door at Oakwood, and she seems to have a little bit of an up and down kind of life. Robin and I went to see her on Friday, and she was just like ready to try out for cheerleader. And yesterday, family went to see her, and they couldn't get her awake. So, you know, please remember Irene. Lois is over there as well. I know that we have others that we want to remember. We all face trials and tribulations in our life, and with that, there is no greater place to go than to the Lord. Let's go before Him today. Lord, we come before You as a family today. We know that many of our own are visiting family in other places or simply out on vacation. Lord, we thank You for those that are visiting with us today to kind of help fill some of the empty spots. But Lord, we know that we have gathered here to worship You, to lift Your name up in praise, to know there's nowhere else we can go to find salvation. That's why we're here. Oh, Lord, we thank You for the humble way. You have made it very clear in Your word. There is absolutely nothing we can do to deserve Your favor. The only way we can move towards You is that You moved toward us. In Your grace, in Your love, in Your mercy, You sent Your Son to this earth to die that we may have life everlasting, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life. Lord, it is with that spirit we are here. And we know there are those that are struggling with things. Life can be tough, and yet You are bigger and better than any problem, situation, circumstance that we face. Whether it's relational, Lord, may You may you touch us and strengthen us that we may reconcile. Whether it is financial, Lord, that you have promised, you will meet all of our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Whether it's employment, Lord, the interview, the necessary job would come. Whether it's just a feeling that, boy, I'm struggling with something and I just don't seem to be able to get past it. You're greater than all. And you've promised that you indwell us, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. With comfort, with confidence, we pour our hearts out to you, Lord. You can bring victory. You can bring peace, and you can bring joy in our hearts because you are exactly who you say you are. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you and for these people that have gathered to honor you. May our hearts be encouraged and strengthened in Christ's name. Amen.
Many times when I've felt envious of people who are much better with words than I am, even in prayer, when we're in a group and we're asked to pray aloud and somebody else's prayer seems to be so much better said than I could ever do it, and I find myself feeling envious. But the Bible speaks to that a little bit, about the Spirit praying for us when we don't know just what to pray when we don't even have any words. And if you can relate to that, then this song is for for you as much as it is for myself.
I have no words, but oh, so much to say. Lord, open up my heart and read my soul this day. Break through these walls, I let my world create. Lord, it's not too late, it's not too late to teach me how to pray. Change to wine. You made the leper whole, the blind see, the deaf hear, the crippled man can run again. You fed the hungry crowd. Now you're risen from the dead. Will I ever find my words of praise? Lord, make my spirit sing. Water changed to wine. You made the leper whole, the blind see, the deaf hear, the crippled man can run again. You fed the hungry crowd. Now you're risen from the dead. Will I ever find my words of praise? Lord, make my spirit sing. I have no words, but oh, so much to say. Lord, open up my heart and read my soul this day. Break through these walls, I let my world create. Lord, it's not too late, it's not too late to make my spirit sing. Oh, let me sing. Lord, let my spirit sing.
Take a look at the time. I won't go longer than usual, but if I'm past 11, it's just because of when I started. Who likes ice cream? Okay, good. Now, if you don't like ice cream, please just supply it with something else you really like. Okay, so we like ice cream. Okay, how many of you like chocolate or hot fudge or something like that? Okay, again, if you don't like that, substitute it for something else. Okay, how about strawberries or raspberries or blueberries? Good? Okay, now, I mean, this is 4th of July. Wow, no it isn't. That was yesterday. Isn't it amazing how fast time goes? Anyway, now we're going to take that ice cream. And we're going to smother it in chocolate. And then we're going to throw the berries on it. Because it's 4th of July, and we can eat a nice big bowl that we take three things we really like and put it all together in just a combination that is just like, wow. Hey, now that everybody's hungry, Paul brings before us today, and what we're going to be looking at in Romans chapter 8, a combination that he wants three good things to work together in a way that the combination is even better. Let us begin by looking at hope is certainty in verses 24 and 25 of Romans chapter 8. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Immediately, it's important for us to distinguish, to separate, to contrast between hope and wish. To wish is wanting an outcome of which you have no basis to expect. You know, many of us as young boys thought it would be absolutely awesome to hit a home run in the World Series. That's a wish. Hope is an expected outcome in which it is based on some fact or something. And so hope is different than a wish. When it comes to the Christian and it's talking about hope, we know that our hope is based entirely upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. We know that we learn of this hope from his word. And it is therein that the hope then has basis. Hope for the Christian is given in the New Testament, in the Greek language, as much absolute certainty as it can. It's spoken of in the past tense, like it's already happened. And it's not that it's already happened, it's just it is so sure. We're going to see this again down in verse 30 as it concludes our passage for today. But for right now, we can know that hope is what is moving us. We have got this hope. And why? You remember last week we talked about life is tough. And within that, God wants to show himself real and true to us. And within this struggle that we have in life, he's promised us his resources, and he's promised us that he is going to be there to experience his presence and his power, that we will come to know him. And yet, Paul is telling us, we will not experience in this life everything the Lord has for us. Though he's promised us all we're going to need, he's given us every spiritual blessing, he's still saving the best for last. That when we get to heaven, we're going to be experiencing something that's going way beyond what we're experiencing now. It's brand new. That's why Paul speaks of it as he does. That this hope is not something that's yet realized. We don't get all of the goodies in this life. But there's the hope that we still have ahead. If you can imagine, if you will, hope is a goal to be attained. We all know the athlete is willing to endure the discomfort of training because of the race that is yet ahead. For the employee is willing to endure the inconvenience of overtime because of the increased paycheck at the end of the period. We know that the student, well, the serious student, is willing to forego fun with his buddies so to fulfill the higher goal of doing well and moving on. We also know that for the dieter, we can, though we don't want to, say no to dessert for the higher goal of being able to lose weight. For the Christian, then, we can know that in the midst of the discipline of living in this life, that we can accommodate the discomfort that comes with the struggles of life because the goal is yet ahead. That is our hope, that heaven is going to be wonderful. So we need to approach life with its trials and troubles with this perspective. It is worth it because when faith sees what we've been waiting for, hope becomes our reality. That we hope for will be our experience. Number two, prayer assistance in verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. How many of you like to have your prayers answered? Okay. I don't even need to ask you. How many of you would like to have your prayers answered positively, just the way you want? We all know that's exactly how we want it to go down. And yet, we aren't infinite. We don't know all. So sometimes when we pray, we don't know exactly what's best. We don't know exactly what we need to ask for. Kids, I got a question for you. Do energy drinks really work? I'm getting mixed feelings here. Somebody just give me an enthusiastic, yes, Scott. Thank you. That wasn't very enthusiastic, but you're old. So, anyway. Clark says, I take back that happy birthday I wished you earlier. That's okay. The Holy Spirit, with the assistance that he gives in prayer, can be thought of as an energy drink that really works. And just like an energy drink is to give you a boost, that you're going through a day going, oh man, I'm just really feeling tired. And now, hey, I've had an energy drink. What can I do for you? Can I do something for you? I really need to do something. Okay, I had 2 cups of coffee. As we think about something as silly as an energy drink, it's kind of like that. It's like we ask our prayers and we're like, okay, well, I don't know how powerful this one is. And it's just like, whew, right to the throne room of God. It takes off like a rocket. It's got a super boost. Because the Holy Spirit gets it there. But it gets it there not only quickly, not only powerfully, but exactly as it should. For exactly what is needed and for the best way possible. Prayer is given help by the Holy Spirit. It's given a super boost. Now, in contrast to the energy drink, in which you probably don't want to fill your day with empty cans of Monster or Red Bull or whatever else, that could be scary. In contrast to that, this is a metaphor. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is going to super boost your prayers, let's go ahead and let's pray once or twice a day. No! If our prayers get a super boost, if they're going to God with power, if they're getting there right on time, if they're getting there to move, let's do this often. Let's do this continuously, because our prayers have assistance. The supernatural super boost from the Holy Spirit Notice the subject of the prayers here. Verse 27. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. How many times do we hear of Paul requesting prayer for the opportunity he saw of ministering somewhere? Paul was very concerned about others praying for him for ministry opportunities. Go back to John chapter 17, in which Jesus is praying for his disciples, both present and future. That's us. And he's diligently praying for our ministry opportunities. What do you pray about? How about we pray for one another for our ministry opportunities? Good idea. And we know this is in accordance with his will. It's what the word says. And we know it's given a super boost by the Holy Spirit. So let's do that often. Number three, sovereignty's assurance, verses 28 through 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. One cannot miss the absolute certainty of what Paul is saying here. And we know that in all things, God works for good. God is a good God. He is good all the time. It's part of his character. It's all that he can do. And yet, this is not saying everything we face is good. No. It's saying that everything God uses for good. Now, he's God. He turns it. He gets involved with it so that those circumstances that otherwise could be disastrous, he turns into benefit. Oh, wait, we forgot to talk about the subject. Who's this talking about? Who's this for? For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You want to see purpose? Look at verses 28 through 30. God has laid out in his sovereignty how that these things are according to purpose. It is with purpose that those who love him, all things work together for good. Okay, now, if I was to ask you, based on this verse alone, how many of you would like to love God? Everybody's arm will go shooting up. Because you want to be one of those that everything works together for good. Anybody not want to be in that group? Anybody want to be outside that group? Of course not. Because you see, the promise doesn't exist for those apart from Jesus Christ. Why can their life be a wreck and look like it's continuing to be a wreck? Because the promise isn't there. God is still sovereign. He's still directing, but there's not the guarantee it's going to work out good. But for those who love God, and let me see those hands again. Who loves God? Okay, for us, there is that promise. God's going to turn it. That it's going to work out for our spiritual benefit. That's what he's in the business of doing. That is what he is going to accomplish. Okay, so now we can see that with all of this fulfillment and purpose involved in these, Paul is wanting to remind us on how that everything involved in salvation is everything that's involved in what he's doing with this passage, with these three things that he's linking together here, that he's trying to show that the same way that God worked in salvation to make us his own is the exact same way he's going to work in our lives to continue to make it good. And he even goes through here and he rehearses some of this. You know, in Paul's linking the salvation, he's going, hey, let me remind you of this. And so he does, and he goes through, and he's basically saying, first, we know that this is God's work in salvation. You want a second reference to that? Just go to Ephesians chapter 1. You can see that this is God's work. He is the one who justifies. No one else has the authority, no one else has the right, no one has the ability to justify but God. He is the one who declares us righteous. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. By simple faith and trust in him, God declares us righteous. And so we are justified. In justification. Hard for us who live in time and space to really grab a hold of this. But in justification, we have the forgiveness of sins. Past, present, future. And you're thinking, wow, I just got my ticket punched. No, because that wouldn't make any sense in the economy of God. God did not forgive us of our sins that we could live reckless lives against him, but that now we have confidence we don't have to worry about any of the mistakes we might make. But we actually have the freedom to seek to live for him, knowing that when the boo-boos come along the way, and they will, it's okay. Keep pressing on, because it does make a difference to live for the Lord. And that's what Paul's wanting to get out of this. Remember, Romans chapter 8 is all about the Spirit's presence, the Spirit's power in your life. And he's going to live according to that Spirit. This is continuing that exact same discussion. So here we can see that Paul is talking about the justification, that part of our salvation that's in the past. But then he goes on and he wants to talk about the present. And that's sanctification. That's living out the resources, the giftedness that God has given you right here and right now. You know, he's done it not only to super boost our prayers, but to empower our whole lives, that we would be able to live how God wants us to live. I mean, I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody, but I'd love to ask the question, how many of you want to live the way God wants you to live? You want to live in the way he has designed life to go. And we can see within this then that in the present, God is empowering us. He's working all things together for good. In the future, glorification, the completion of our salvation. And as I said earlier, remember down in verse 30, we're going to see the same thing again. Notice this. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, past tense, he also glorified. But of course, within that justified, we know it's speaking past tense about us, that we're still 1900 plus years in the future. Okay, so we know that the justified is done. It is done in the sovereignty of God, completed. And yet it hasn't happened yet. And in the same way, he goes on and he says, and glorified. Anybody here been glorified yet? Okay, good, good. I was going to be really scared if somebody said yes. You haven't. It's still in the future. We will not be glorified until we see Jesus face to face. And when we do, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Amen. Wow. You know, I mean, it's like this thing. It's like, how are you doing in becoming Christ-like in your walk with him? I mean, you know, I know there's some of us who feel like we're doing pretty good, and there's some of us who feel like, well, it's kind of a struggle. But within this, none of us look like Jesus. Every word that comes out of our mouth doesn't sound like him. But one day, we will be like him. For we will see him face to face. And we will see him as he is. Wow. So even though this glorification is something in the future, it's as good as done. Does it make you feel good? Okay. Really enthusiastically. Work with me here. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah.
It should. It really, really should. This is the motivation. This is the encouragement that the Spirit of God, through the writing in the New Testament, is trying to give us. As he's wrapping up this whole thing about living the life in the Spirit, Paul is trying to communicate to us. The Holy Spirit is trying to communicate with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is trying to communicate with us. It really does matter. It really does matter that you live according to the Spirit. That you do what God wants you to do. Because when this world is all said and done, it's the only thing that carries forward into eternity. I mean, kids, you can think about your school years. You know, they do go by quickly. Trust me, it doesn't seem that long ago I was in the principal's office. The years go by quick. But can you imagine that the only thing that matters in your school years is what you have done in the Spirit. That's it. Everything else is going to be forgotten. That's all that gets remembered. Parents. What's family life like? Oh, yeah, got some mountaintop experiences. And as long as my kids aren't looking, and we've had some valleys. And within all of those experiences as a family, the only ones you get to take with you are those that are done in the power of the Spirit. Anybody like their job? Anybody not like their job but have to do it because you need a paycheck? Okay, that's where we find ourselves. And at the end of the day, it isn't about what we did or didn't do, what we accomplished or failed to accomplish in our job. At the end of the day, the only thing that is going to carry forward into eternity is that is done in the power of the Spirit. Period. See, this is where Paul's wanting to take us. In Romans chapter 8, it really does matter. It really does matter that we live according to the Spirit. We can see in the passage before us today, Paul has linked up hope and prayer and glorification. Hope should be our motivation. It should be our encouragement. The assistance in prayer, that should be a gimme. If I can just share with you just a personal note here, it's only going to take 10 seconds, Bear with me. I'm a pastor. I pray a lot. Not as much as I should. But just because I've been studying this passage this week, and I'm reminded again, wow, why did I have to be reminded? I don't know. I guess I get so busy being me, I forget. It's not about me. It's about him. And so this week, I've been excited to pray more because I'm reminded my prayers are super boosted by the Holy Spirit. Within glorification, the Lord does save the best for last. We cannot get everything he has for us in this life. He's saving the best for last. He wants us to know that the only way to be able to live in the Spirit is to belong to him. If we live in that power, then we're going to absolutely, positively know he's super boosting our prayers. He's given us a hope that is based upon fact. It's guaranteed. Why? Because he said it. And his guarantees are perfect. And it's within that that he's going, glory is just around the corner. Father, thank you for the way that you want to strengthen us, the way you want to encourage us, that you have talked about hope, living in this present time, super boosting our prayers, and Lord, that someday we will receive glorification. This truth should really help us to be motivated, to be encouraged, and to encourage one another to live as we should today in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for loving us and bringing us home. In Christ's name, amen.
For the communion scripture this morning, I'd like to read out of 1 Corinthians. For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table. I pass it on to you. For on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord took bread, and when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took a cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and you, and it has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, as we gather around the glow of this thy communion table, we ask thy blessings on this broken loaf and this precious cup. And may they fill our lives with spiritual nourishment and love for thee and our fellow being. And Father, indeed, as we think this morning about the message, may we indeed connect hope and prayer and find ourselves praying more fervently so that day when glorification does come, we will truly experience the wonder of being in your presence. And Father, we ask that you make your presence known to the sick, the elderly, and those that cannot commune with us this day. In thy risen Savior's name we pray. Amen.
If you're here today and you know Jesus and you know you love God, I trust that these words have been motivation and encouragement for you. That's how they were designed to be. If you're here and you wonder, I don't know. I don't know if I know Jesus. I don't know that those promises are for me. I implore you, do not leave here without getting that answered. Eternity, which is a really, 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 really long time, depends on it. Let's stand. Would be considered a real privilege if anyone was wanting to know Jesus. I'd love to introduce you to him. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. We thank you that we get to walk in your presence, to know your power, and to know that despite how things may look from time to time, you're working it all together for good, with your sovereign purpose in mind. You're moving us towards the image of your Son. You're toning us up. You're giving us the opportunity to press forward for a goal. That, Lord, that hope of our own glorification. Wow. May we be strengthened and encouraged by your words. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.